Let's take our Bible. Hope you got a Bible. And let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. So you got the first five books of the Bible, and then you got Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1 Samuel. And I'll say something here in a minute about the order of those books. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. You want to take a guess at the person that we're going to be looking at in 1 Samuel chapter 3? It's a tough one. Anybody know what individual the focus is on in 1 Samuel chapter 3? You want to guess? I think I heard it. Yes, Samuel. I won't go through all of the background on Samuel, but remember that Samuel was a miracle baby. Samuel was born because his mother, Hannah, prayed for a son, prayed for a child. And she told the Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. God did give her a child, and she kept her word. So this young man grows up in the temple, and he doesn't, this is not a Father's Day message, but I'll give you a little bit of the Father's Day portion of this. Samuel does not grow up with his real father around. So he has a father figure, and it's Eli, and we'll say a few things about Eli here in a moment. But I'll just give you the short version of the Father's Day side of the message. A young man without a father around can still do great things for the Lord when he recognizes that the greatest of fathers is God the Father. And I will say that if a young man has a godly father, it is no guarantee that he will turn out to be godly. This is a choice that every individual has to make. So let's read. This is quite a lengthy passage here. We're going to read all the verses in the chapter, but stay with me because I just might spring some questions on you as we go to see if you're paying attention. So verse 1, 1 Samuel 3, here's what the Bible says. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You want to remember that little statement there. There was no open vision. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not my son. Lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I need to stop there for a moment. Notice in that verse that knowing the Lord is directly related to the word of the Lord being revealed. Has the word of the Lord been revealed to you? It's up to you to receive it. And when you receive the word that the Lord gives, he will reveal great things to you. Again, through the Holy Spirit. You've got to be saved and got to be ready to receive the word. Okay, verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Verse 11, And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now, let me just stop and ask you, from verse 11 to 14, that's what God revealed to Samuel, isn't it? That's some pretty strong revelation that he received from the Lord, wouldn't you say? And who's it about? It's about the guy that's supposed to be his spiritual mentor. And it's not good. Keep that in mind. Does the Lord always reveal good things in the future when he reveals? It's not always good. Now, there's some great things down the road to come, but for people here on this earth that don't get saved, there's some really rough things to come, put it mildly. So verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli. What does it say next, folks? Notice where we started in verse 1. No open vision. What did God do with Samuel? He showed him a vision, and this was his word revealed to him. That's very important. So we go from no vision to now there's a vision through the revelation of the Lord. Okay, verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. See, Samuel didn't get any backlash for telling the truth, did he? The Lord will protect you when you tell the truth, when you give out his word truthfully and faithfully. All right, verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now watch 21. It's a great verse. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. If you only get this part of the message, this is good to take home with you. God reveals himself today through his word. How did God reveal himself in Samuel's day? Through his word. And we'll say a few things about that. But God reveals himself even today through his word. You want to know the Lord? You will get to know him through his word being revealed to you. If you want to know the Lord, you're going to have to spend some time in his word so he can reveal himself to you. You know the Lord through his word. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would just show us great things through this chapter that we've read and other places. We know that these words are preserved for us by you, miraculously, and that these words are living words. These words are eternal. They're pure, and we need them. And I pray that your word and your Holy Spirit meet no resistance today in our presence, but you would truly take your words, your Holy Spirit, and move on every one of us. May we be truly moved by your word today, and pray that your work is done in each of us, and we would be ready to just receive. Just may our hearts be tender and soft and ready to take whatever it is you give us here in the passage we look at this morning, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I mentioned that Eli was Samuel's father figure. That's kind of interesting. He didn't have his human father around, but Eli is his father figure. Nothing like the Bible to give you revelation into things in the year 2020, right? Now stick with me. Eli is his father figure, but he's not his father. Folks, what is Eli? He's a priest. He's supposed to be the Lord's priest. Now, he is a priest to some degree. Doesn't do what God wants him to do. But he's the priest and he's his father figure. Can you think of any organization where the priest is called the father? You want to watch out for that. Folks, religion can't save anybody. You need the word of God revealed to you. If you're saved, God's word had to be revealed to you to show you first and foremost the bad news. You are a sinner, and you're not right with God. And that's bad news, but that's true news. There you go, brother. Number two, got the bad news out of the way. Number two, Jesus Christ died for sinners. He didn't stay dead, though. He rose again. Step number three, what are you going to do about that? You going to stay in your sin, which will spend it, you'll lead to eternity in hell? Or are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, realize He paid the price of sin for you, and be saved and be forgiven? Oh, it can't be that simple. It's that simple. It's that simple. If you're in that boat this morning where you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, you had to receive the Lord, His Word, as it was revealed to you, didn't you? Now, here's what's sad to me. I've been saved for a long time, and of course, my dad being a pastor, I've seen a lot of this over my lifetime, and I know Pastor and Brother Tony could say even a whole lot more about this. But here's what's sad to me in the years I've been saved and watching people. They get saved. A lot of people get saved, and that is it as far as spiritual things go. Folks, why did God save you? If you're saved this morning, why did God save you? He has a job for you to do, being filled with the Spirit, walking with Him, that there's not another person that's ever lived or ever will live can do. He made you to do a certain job. He made me to do something different than what He made you to do. And everybody's like that. You know, God's concerned with the individual. Amen to that. So, if you don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ after you get saved, man, you're missing out on the best adventure of a lifetime. Walking with God, doing what He wants you to do, fulfilling the responsibility that God gave you to do in the years you got on this earth. Man, you're missing out. I could have taken a different path in my life, and I'm not saying this because I've always done what the Lord wants me to. The Lord knows I haven't. But I could have taken, there's a crossroads in my life at about age 25 where I was faced with, it was one of those forks in the road. I was faced with, Rockwell, this is what I want you to do, the Lord telling me, very clearly. This is the path. I didn't really want to go on that path. Here's the other path. I had it all in my mind what was going to happen. And the Lord said, okay, go ahead. You know, the Lord will do that. He'll let you. He said, go ahead. All right, go ahead. And I took a little half step in that direction, and I was scared. Good that the Lord scared me going that direction. And I'll tell you, the direction I was going to take was not a sinful direction per se. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to go live a life of sin. It wasn't that. It was just what my agenda was and what I wanted to do and what I thought I wanted to do for a long time. And the Lord said, nope, here's a better path. I'm telling you, I could have gone on another path, and I'm glad I didn't. I don't know what would have happened. I'll tell you this, what would have happened. I would have walked further and further away from God's path. That's what would have happened. But I decided to take the path that I knew the Lord wanted me to take. I'm telling you, it hadn't been easy, because God doesn't make it easy because He wants you to rely on Him. But it's been the adventure of a lifetime. I could give you a whole sermon on all the adventures along the way. Just been the neatest things that have happened that have just fallen in my lap because you walk with the Lord. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to brag on God, not on me, because Lord knows I don't deserve anything He's just dropped in my lap. But folks, walking with God is the best thing in life. Getting saved, okay, that's the starting point. Now, you're missing out if you don't start walking with the Lord after you get saved. And you grow as you read His Word and as He gives you direction in your life. It's the greatest thing. Don't miss out on that. All right, so let's get into the message here. The first part of the message here is, the Word of the Lord was precious. I'm pulling this from verse 1. The Word of the Lord was precious. But notice it also said there was no open vision. Now, I want to show you where we're at in our Bible. Can you go to your table of contents in your Bible? I've done this before, but it's been a little while, so let's do this again. Go to your table of contents in the front of your Bible. And I believe that God put the books of the Bible in order for a reason. What do you think? I don't think the Lord said, well, let's just throw this one over here and let's just roll the dice on the table here and pick them up. It doesn't matter the order. No, it does matter the order. It really does. I believe you can learn so much from studying the order that the books occur. So I'm going to start with Joshua. What do you know about Joshua? It's the sixth book of your Bible. Joshua was a great man, wasn't he? He was a man greatly used by God. You know what Joshua did? Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. You know who failed to do that? Moses. You know what can't save you? What does Moses represent, folks? The law of God. It can't save you, because you can't keep it. Moses didn't go in the promised land. He led those people all that time, didn't get to go in the promised land because he sinned against the Lord. Remember, the whole thing was speaking to the rock, and he hit it instead. It cost him greatly. Joshua comes along and does what Moses couldn't do. Who's Joshua represent? The Lord Jesus Christ doing what the law couldn't do, save me and you. Amen? Now, Joshua, great book of victory. I mean, conquest. Joshua's a military leader. Man, he just wins battle after battle. Just awesome. You can learn. I didn't serve in the military, but I've heard people that have served in the military say they've read the book of Joshua, and there's military strategy to be learned in that book about ambushes and about setting a watch and all kinds of things about the military. So that's a neat book. Now, what's the next book in your Bible after Joshua? After that great victory, what's the next book? You know the last verse in the book of Judges? You know what it says? It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, I look at our world today, and it sure does line up with that last verse in the book of Judges, doesn't it? Every man has put away the word of God and is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And we just happen to have in our hands this morning the word of a king, right? And it's been discarded, hasn't it? And when the word of God is thrown out, man will do whatever he thinks is right, which is most of the time, 99.9% of the time, not what God says is right. Let's be honest. Folks, you want to understand where we are today, read Judges 19, 20, 21, and you'll get an idea of what's coming. Where we are today and what's coming. And I don't say that because it's exciting to read and fun to read. It's very hard to read. It's very disturbing, in fact. And you see man at his worst without God. Now, that's the bad news. But how's the Lord work with this? He'll give you something that's really negative, and he'll give you something really good. Amen? What's the next book in your Bible after Judges? If you're saved, the book of Ruth ought to get you excited. The book of Ruth is about a Gentile woman who marries a Jewish man. Hello? Gentile bride. Jewish man. Are you saved? Now, I am a man, but symbolically, I am a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? That happens in the book of Ruth, right after all that craziness. You know what's next on God's calendar, folks? God taking his bride home to live in his house. The Lord Jesus Christ appearing in the clouds and saying, come on! I've said this before, but I get so excited thinking about it. In a marriage, you got the bride who walks down the aisle to meet the bridegroom who's waiting. What happens at the rapture? He shows up. He's waiting. We go down the aisle. What happens after the marriage? The bride lives at the bridegroom's house. And it's better than the house you got now. In my Father's house are many mansions. You got a mansion? Sherry and I have a wonderful place to live. It's not huge, but it's just a beautiful place. We were talking about it the other day, how we're really spoiled. In fact, it's so nice, and we can walk around our neighborhood, and it's just so nice. And you know what? Sometimes, because of that, we forget about we got something better up there. Don't get all caught up on how nice things are down here. I got a feeling, knowing the Bible and knowing what the Lord says about heaven, I got a feeling when we get up there, it will take less than half a second for all of us to say, that was a dump down there. And I thought it was good. That was like the garbage heap down there. Because you're going to see something you've never... Folks, you've never seen anything like what's up there. Have you seen golden streets that you can see through? Transparent gold. That's pure gold that you can see. Have you seen that here on earth? That's what the streets are like up there. They're potholes. Amen? I get excited also that there's going to be a marriage supper. And I got a feeling that when that first bite is taken, before I even chew, before when it's in my mouth, I'm going to say, I thought I had good food down there from Taco Bell. This, some of you who know me will think that's funny. That was nothing compared to what we got here. Folks, living for the Lord is worth it. And you got to remember, things are going to be rough down here at times, really rough. If you're saved, it's going to get better. We got to remember that. In our world, we got to remember that. if you're focused on what's down here, you're going to be discouraged almost 24/7 in the day we live in now, aren't you? Since March, it's easy, good reason to be discouraged 24/7. But folks, remember what you've got coming through Jesus Christ. Got nothing to do with us, does it? Because you're saved, because you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, it's so much better in the future. Okay, so I wasn't going down that path, but I thought I'd just mention that. I think that's exciting. There's no open vision. And I want to spend just a minute talking about this to clear the air here, because I know there's been some folks, we've discussed this, and I want to make sure that we understand something. God revealed Himself back then and today through His Word, right? But notice it mentions something about a vision there in verse 1, right? Go to the book of Numbers. Let's see if we can clear the air here. The book of Numbers. Do you know there was a time, go to Numbers chapter 12. There was a time when God did not have a completed volume written down. Did you know that? There was a time. We have a completed volume of everything God wants us to have, and it's written down for us, right? And it's preserved. It took time for God to have these books written by men over the centuries and then put them together, right? So there was a time when there was not all of this written down. Nevertheless, folks, do you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, or actually chapter 2, don't you remember, God did reveal Himself through His Word to Adam. You remember that? And He gave him a command concerning what to eat and what not to eat. And God, from the very beginning, has revealed Himself and His plan through His what? His Word. He hasn't stopped doing that. But back then, with Adam, it was audible. Just like you're hearing me right now, God spoke to him audibly. God doesn't do that anymore. But let's talk about why for just a moment. Go to Numbers chapter 12. Look at verse 6. And He said, "Hear now My words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make Myself known unto him in a what?" Okay, that's important. In a vision. "And will speak unto him in a..." All right, you got to get those two things right there. In your Old Testament, God reveals Himself to men through visions and dreams. Folks, I'll give you a good example with dreams. Joseph, with Pharaoh. Pharaoh dreamed this dream. He could not have anybody interpret it. He couldn't find anybody interpret it until Joseph comes along. And he's brought out of prison to interpret it. And what God showed Joseph and showed really the whole nation there, of the Egyptians and the Israelites, He showed Joseph, through a dream, interpreted what God was going to do for the next several years. The future, prophecy, revealed. It began with a what? A dream. And then Joseph had the ability to interpret. Now today, you know what we have in front of us? You can go to Genesis and you'll find that dream written down, that interpretation written down, preserved. But how did it start? It was a dream. You'll see there's men in the Old Testament God gave visions to. How do we know today that God gave visions to them? Because they wrote down what God showed them. And then God preserved it. So now we read about men in the Old Testament who had dreams and visions. And what was God doing in those dreams and visions? Revealing Himself to them. Now, we are in, if you study what we call dispensations, we're in a dispensation here where we've got the complete Word of God. Right? So God no longer will use dreams and visions to reveal Himself. Don't get caught up in that nonsense. There's a lot of, quote, spiritual people that are all caught up in dreams that they had. You got to watch out for that. Can God reveal Himself through a dream? My answer to that would be He did it one time. But He's revealing Himself today through the pages of the Scriptures. That's how He does it. Come on, do you really want to be driven by your dreams, folks? My dreams are off the wall. I don't know about yours. Mine don't make any sense. And then I got to think about, well, how do I interpret this thing? And it's up to me to interpret it? Or I'll go to the dream interpreter. Usually, if you go to somebody like that, it's somebody that's dealing with spiritual activity you don't want to be involved with. Watch out for those people. And they'll, quote, interpret your dreams. And it's nonsense. Don't get caught up in that. If anybody ever tells you, God showed me this vision of what's to come. I heard it. There's a fellow this past, I guess a couple weeks ago, there's a fellow that I had a lot of respect for. And then he basically said, good Bible teacher. And he said, God has showed me what's going to happen in the November election and then 4 years beyond that. I'm like, come on, man. You should have kept your mouth shut. You just lost all kind of credibility with me, man. So don't get caught up in that nonsense, folks. God reveals himself through the pages of the scriptures, his words. All right, don't miss that. All right, now, let me back up here. I kind of jumped off there for a minute. Back there, we were going through those books of the Bible. We had Joshua, and we had Judges, and we had Ruth, right? Now, here's God showing you the future through the books of the Bible in the order they're in. You ready for this? If we take Ruth as a picture of the rapture, right? Jewish man, Gentile woman, married. She goes and lives with him. There's your rapture. What's the next book in your Bible? It's 1 Samuel, right? Did you know a king takes the throne of Israel in 1 Samuel? You remember what his name is? His name is Saul. Now let's think about this for a minute. He gets off to a really good start, doesn't he? But then you know what he does? He usurps the priesthood. He also greatly disobeys God in many ways, so much so that his life ends visiting a witch. Who do you think that might picture for me and you in the future? Gets off to a good start. Rallies the whole nation. But then is as wicked as can be. Who do you think that might be? Coming Antichrist? See, God reveals this to you in the order of the books of the Bible. Now, it gets better. See, it goes back negative, positive, doesn't it? It gets better. 2 Samuel, there's a new king. You know who that king is? He's the king from the tribe of kings. He's from the tribe of Judah. What's his name, folks? Come on, come on. It's David. Now, David's not a perfect man. No, he's not. He's a human. He's a sinner. But he is a wonderful picture of somebody much greater than David to come. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's the book of the Bible comes after 2 Samuel? What is it? 1 Kings. Kings. Jesus Christ will be king on this earth after the tribulation. He'll knock down the Antichrist and set up his kingdom. You see God showing you where we're at in history now and what's to come through the order of those books right there. You see that? That's God revealing something to you today. Might be rough now. Might get worse. If you're saved, and only if you're saved, it's going to get better. Now, do you understand why people are depressed and suicidal in our world today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't see anything good coming down the pipe, do you? And I'm not justifying that kind of behavior, but I get it. I understand why people are depressed. I understand why people think there's no hope. There is no hope without Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going way off the notes this morning, so I don't know if that's a good thing. I guess we'll let the Lord sort this out. Go to the next verse here. Verse 2 and 3 are going to give you a spiritual picture of our world today. And I hate to say it, folks, but a lot of churches today. And we need to pray that it never happens in this church. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not what? Here is the spirit, supposed to be the spiritual leader, and he can't see. Remember that. Here's the spiritual leader of the nation, and he can't see. Look at the next verse. Verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. We got the spiritual leader can't see. The spiritual leader is supposed to keep the flame burning all the time. And what happens? It's out. Real quick, go to Exodus 27. Real quick, back up here. Exodus 27. I'll show you this. When the Lord gave the plans for the tabernacle, he specifically told Moses what they were supposed to do regarding this lamp. So look at 27. Exodus 27, verse 20. 27:20, and there's a great picture here, so let's learn something from this. 27:20, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn. What's that next word? What's always mean? 24/7. Next verse. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. There's your Ark of the Covenant. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute for how long? forever unto their generation on the behalf of the children of Israel. Go back to 1 Samuel. When I see in 1 Samuel that that lamp is out and the spiritual leader can't see, you're getting a portrait of the whole nation and where they are with the Lord. I won't go into this right now, but you do a little study on Eli's sons. They're bad guys. And he did not restrain them as he ought to have. Like a good father would have restrained his sons from wickedness. He was the father that just sat back and let them do it. Eli suffers because of his two boys and not restraining them. And obviously they did as well. Okay, I see a spiritual picture of the nation in verses 2 and verse 3. Does that match what might be going on in our world today, folks? Folks, when the lamp of God is out and there's no spiritual vision, people will walk in spiritual darkness. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? If a man walks in the light or walks in the nighttime without the light, what's he going to do? Stumble. You walk around without a light during the night, you'll stumble, and good chance you're going to hurt yourself. Folks, don't walk around without the light. Go to your New Testament, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Might not get past the first point this morning, but we'll just go with what we got. Philippians chapter 2. I'll remind you of another scripture that we won't look at, but you probably know it. Go to Philippians 2, but Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a, help me out, lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, you know what? It's real easy to turn out the light. Watch. The light is out. And it sits on the shelf. Days, weeks, months. The light is out in your house. Well, I'm paying FPL. The light is out in your house. The most important light is out in your house, and it doesn't cost you anything other than a little time. Folks, that time you spend is time well spent when you open up this light. Psalm 122, verse 6, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It's up to you to let it in. Well, I come to church. Okay, you're letting it in a couple times a week. That's better than nothing. Folks, God will reveal things to you in your Bible with you and Him alone that He may never show me. God has a plan for you, doesn't He? He got a plan for each one of us. He'll show me things that pertain to what He wants me to do on a day-to-day basis through me reading the Scriptures. He will show you what He wants you to do on a daily basis with what He's got for you to do when you read the Scriptures. Folks, it's simple to turn out the light. Oh, it's also simple to open up and turn on the light. Keep that light turned on. Keep it turned on all the time. How often was the light supposed to burn? Let's make sure we get this. Always. How long should our light be on? The Word of God, that is? Always. You know the best way to have the light of the Word of God on? Always. Thy Word have I hid where? In my heart. If you got it hidden in your heart, you always got access to it, don't you? Now, it's okay to have it open and read it, but if you're in a situation where you're driving, you can't do that, can you? But if it's in your heart, you can. You can always have the light on, can't you? All right, let's go to Philippians 2. This goes along with what we just said here. So Philippians 2, verse 14. This is the verse that we'll read really fast and not preach on. You'll see why. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That verse is in the order for a reason, because look at the next verse. Man, I tell you, we got to spend a moment on this. That verse is something that hits, if you're honest, it probably hits home with you. With you probably did some murmuring and disputing in the last few days. Maybe. What are we supposed to do? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. But you don't know what they did. Do all things. But you don't know how bad it is. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, right? That verse is there for a reason in the order it is, because look at the next verse. If you're obedient to verse 14, look what happens. Verse 15, that ye may be what? Yeah, you're not blameless if you're murmuring and disputing. That ye may be blameless. And what else? Harmless. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst. Now watch this. This is Paul writing in the first century, but it matches the USA in 2020 in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse nation. Now, stop. Before we read, can you all agree? Can we all agree that matches our country? crooked and perverse nation. In Sunday school, we were talking about how this is the case on the political spectrum and the spiritual. Agreed? Crooked and perverse nation. Now, there's the bad. Let's get the good. What are we supposed to be doing in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? Read the rest of the verse. Among whom ye shine as what? Lights in the world. Okay, regardless of what God put you here to do specifically, God put every person who's saved here to be a light in a dark world. Amen? Now, how are we going to do that? Notice the verse says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at the relationship between the end of verse 15 and the beginning of verse 16. Look at it. Holding forth the what? Word of life. Are you seeing that connection there? If you want to be a light for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to let the light in your life on a personal basis. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, right? That they may see your good works. And what's the goal? What's the rest of the verse? And glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. When the light of the Word of God is held forth and directing you, you don't get the glory out of that. The world should see the Lord Jesus Christ, not Micah Rockwell. When I'm holding out the Word like that. When the light of the Word of God is lighting my path. Now, when I close it and turn off the light, you know who they're going to see? They're going to see me. I don't want the world to see me. I know what I really am. You know what you really are. I want the world to see the light from the Word of God. Oh, isn't Jesus Christ, John 8:12? I am the light of the world. You hold forth the Word, capital W, gets glorified. Amen? Go back there to 1 Samuel. We got a lot of ground to cover here. 1 Samuel. Folks, I spent a lot of time on that because I think those first three verses are great insight into where we are in the year 2020 in our country. The Word of the Lord is not the light that it ought to be in our nation. Just because the nation is in that position doesn't mean the individual has to be in that position. Don't you get to choose every day whether to let the light in or not? I get the choice. So choose to let the light in. Choose to hold forth the Word of life. All right, now, God's going to do something about this. And I won't take the time to go through all this, but I remember as a little boy in Sunday school, this is one of the stories that just stuck with me. We thought it was so neat how God calls Samuel how many times? Three times. And every time, what's he do? Now think about this. Every time he goes to who? Eli. Now remember, Samuel does not know the Lord yet, does he? But he goes to the man that he associates with the Lord. It's Eli. Is that the man that should be associated with the Lord? No. I spent a moment on this, though. It's a sad state when Bible-believing Christians base their spirituality on the man of God instead of God. Don't do that. I got caught up in that nonsense for a while. When I first started really getting into the Bible, I still do to this day, but I love listening to preaching. And there's one particular fellow I really liked a lot. And if I called the name, a lot of you would know him. And I thought, man, that guy's a really good preacher. So I started getting the tapes every week. And you know what the level of my spirituality was? It was the tapes of that guy preaching. That was it. Was the guy a good preacher? He was good. You know what I found out later on? He was way off on some stuff. So if I'm basing my spirituality on that guy, I can get led astray, can't I? I want my spiritual life to revolve around the words of God. Can God use a preacher? Well, I'm up here. I hope so. But don't you dare base your spirituality on a preacher. Doesn't matter who's behind this pulpit. Anybody that knows anything in this church, you've been here for a while, you know this is true. We don't base our spiritual life on what the preacher says. We base it on what God says. Amen? God's word trumps any word of a preacher. Amen. I know we spend a lot of time when pastors up here, when Jonathan's up, Don, anybody who's preaching this pulpit spends a lot of time going to different places in the Bible. That's why. We don't want you to go away from here saying, the preacher said. We want you to go away from here saying, man, the Lord said this, and he said this, and he said this, because you read a bunch of scriptures while you were listening to the preaching. Isn't that the way it should be? See, you folks that have been to other churches, you know it's not like this in most churches, is it? And what a thing we got here. But again, don't base your spirituality just on what you get on Sunday and Wednesday. You need so much more than that. I like to eat. Brother Paul, you like to eat. I know you do, right? All right. Got several of you fellas like to eat here. What if you only ate once or maybe twice on Sunday every week and then once on Wednesday? Just one time. Oh, come on, man. When you can have the steak and the potatoes and the peach cobbler and all that stuff, when you have that and you have access to it, why wouldn't you eat it? Spiritual steak, spiritual potatoes, spiritual peach cobbler, I got access to it. Why wouldn't I eat it? You want to do a study. Study the Word of God compared to food. It's like bread. It's like apples. It's like honey. That's just a few. There's a whole bunch more on that. Spiritual food right here. Okay, God calls Samuel three times. His spirituality is based on a man. Don't do that. Now, finally, Eli says, hey, the Lord's talking to you, boy. And you know what he does to him? He says something here. Look at verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, look what he says here, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. That is good advice. Eli had his issues, but he gave some really good advice to Samuel. He said, Samuel, it's not me calling you. That's got to be the Lord calling you. So when you hear him, here's what you say. Now, I don't know if you caught this when we read, but read verse 10. The details are in, the understanding of God's word is found in the details oftentimes, right? Watch verse 10. See if you catch it. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Hold on. What was he supposed to say? Did you catch it? You got it, Miss Cookie? He was supposed to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel does not say Lord. Why do you think that might be? We got the answer back earlier here when it said the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. How do you know the Lord? When he reveals his word to you. Samuel has not heard from the Lord yet. He's about to. Isn't that interesting, that little detail? He left out Lord. He doesn't know the Lord yet, but he sure gets to know him, doesn't he? Isn't that neat? So go on there, verse 11. So the first point there was the word of, there was no open vision. Second thing here, the word of the Lord was heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? Spend some time in the word of God. All right, so he says that, and then the Lord begins to talk to him. Now, I just want to spend a moment on this. I'll give you the references because we don't have time to look at these. But I thought it was neat there that after he calls, it says the Lord came and stood and called his other times, Samuel, Samuel. And what I thought was interesting there is I found a few places in the Bible where God calls people and he says their name twice. He says their individual name twice. See if you can see something in common with these. Genesis 22:11, God says, Abraham, Abraham. And you know what Abraham's response was? Here am I. Genesis 46, God says, Jacob, Jacob. You know what his response was? Here am I. Exodus 3:4, Moses, Moses, burning bush. You know what Moses' response was? Here am I. Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon. Acts 9:4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What I found about every one of those is when God calls somebody by name twice like that, he's seeing if they're available for something great that he wants them to do. I think that's really neat. Hey, I can't call all your names, but think about God calling your name twice. Your name. He wants you to do something great for him that you can't ever do alone. You're going to need him. Isn't that a great thing to know? God's called you. What should be the response? Here am I. Look up that little phrase in your Bible. You get a blessing. Here am I. You're saying, I'm available, Lord. I surrender. I'm not going to do what I want. I'm available to listen and do what you want. Good little study. I'll let you take a look at that on your own. Let's get to this last point here. We've got the word of the Lord was heard. Last point. The word of the Lord revealed. And I won't take the time to go through all the verses here, but from verse 11 all the way there to verse 14, you've got God revealing the future to Samuel, don't you? Okay, let me catch that again. I want you to make sure you get it. You have God revealing the future to Samuel. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know the future? Not talking about if you looked at your horoscope this morning. That's a waste of time. Do you know the future? You may not know details about the future, but you know something about your future. If you're saved, folks, if you're not saved, you know, you're missing out. If you're not saved, I can tell you your future, and it's not good. It's eternity in hell, and you don't get out. There's the negative. Let me give you the positive. You don't have to spend eternity in hell if you'll understand, even though that's what you deserve, Jesus Christ paid the price for you, so you don't have to go there. And if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Him to be your Savior, you have a future home where? In heaven. Do you know your future? Is it a good one? Amen. I mean, come on. It might get rough. But rapture and heaven and then come back down here and Jesus Christ is King, not your favorite president. It's going to be so much better. I mean, Jesus Christ. Think about those three events right there. Rapture, heaven, on earth with Jesus as King. Come on. That's the best future. By the way, people who aren't saved, that's the future they want. They want all that you get being saved. They want that. They just don't realize how a lot of times how easy it is to have it. They want that, but they've thrown the Bible away. They don't think there's anything to. But you know what the world wants right now? Come on, what's the world crying out for right now? Right now. Justice and peace aren't. Isn't a lot of the world want that? Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people want justice and peace. You know who brings justice and peace? When Jesus Christ sits on His throne in Jerusalem, this world will have justice and peace. You don't read Psalm 2. You don't mess with the king during the millennium. Son, lest he be angry, and thou perish from the way, and his wrath is kindled but a little. You're not going to mess with King Jesus. He'll be the righteous judge. Isn't that what everybody wants? Folks, if you're saved, you got quite the future, don't you? We'll wrap this up here this morning. I want you to look there at the last few verses here. Verse 19. This is after God has told him the future. And actually, let me just back up here. What is Samuel and what are you and I supposed to do with what God has revealed to us through His Word? What are we supposed to do with it? Supposed to keep it in and hide it? What are we supposed to do? Supposed to give it out. Samuel gets tested immediately with whether or not he's going to give out that which God gave to him. He gets tested the next morning when old Eli comes along and he wants to know, what did he tell you? You think Samuel wanted to tell him what he told him? It's all this bad stuff about Eli. You know what he does? A little boy. Learn a lot from a little boy right here. You know what he does? He tells him everything. You notice there, look at verse 18. And Samuel told him every what? Every whit. You know what that means? Every little detail he told him. And hid nothing from him. What are we supposed to do, folks? God reveals something to us. What are we supposed to do? Go ye and all, right? Supposed to give it out. Don't keep it to yourself. Give it out. Well, they don't want it. Give it out anyway. In this case, he took it. People don't always take it, do they? Give it out anyway. Give it out. How are they going to know that there is the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, if it is not shown to them? They're not going to know. Guess who God wants to use to show them? People like me and you that are saved. Okay, next thing here. Verse 19. He gets the word, he gives it out, and then look at verse 19. And Samuel, what's that next word? What does the Lord desire as you get physically? What are you doing? And I know that I stopped growing, you know, when I was probably 19, 20, physically. But did you know what the Lord wants you to do and me to do until we breathe our last breath? You know what He wants us to do? We should be growing. I think it's sad, like I said earlier, you get people that get saved and then they don't really ever take off. And then here's the other one that you see a lot in Baptist churches in particular. Somebody gets saved, they get on fire for the Lord for like 5, 8, 10 years. And then somebody offends them or something really sours them and they completely just leave it. Leave it all. I used to serve the Lord, they say. Now, here's another one. Here's a third one. Here's somebody who gets right with the Lord, they get saved, they grow by leaps and bounds in maybe a few years, just really growing, on fire for the Lord. And then, here's what they do. They still come to church faithfully, but they've stopped the personal time with God. But they're coming to... But you ask them what they read this week and what the Lord showed them, they couldn't tell you what God showed them the last 5 years. That saddens me. Folks, what does God desire in everybody who's saved? You're growing and growing and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. No matter how old you are. My dad's going to be 80 this year. And we have these conversations. And you know what the Lord's still doing? He's still revealing stuff to my dad. It's the neatest thing. And he's still growing. He's almost 80. And we got folks that come to this church older than that. And God's still revealing. Don't be that person where you get to a certain age and you say, okay, I'm done. I mean, I've got a lot. 50 years. I mean, come on. What else is the Lord going to show me? A whole lot more. God's got a whole lot more to show you if you just open up the Bible, open up His Word. Okay, last thing here. We saw the Word of the Lord revealed there to Samuel. Last verse, and I want to take you to the New Testament verse when we're done. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? By the Word of the Lord. I've said it a few times, I'll say it again. God reveals Himself to you and me through His Word. Now go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Last verse here, we'll be done. 2 Peter chapter 1. See if this doesn't match up to what we talked about today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hope this will be an encouraging little section here for you, this couple verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, go down to verse 3. This is part of the introduction to the book. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I love it whenever I see these first three words. In chapter 1, I'll go to 2 actually. Chapter 1, verse 2. What are those first three words? Now, if you're saved, you love those words. How do you get grace? Through Jesus Christ. How do you get peace? The peace that passes all understanding? Through Jesus Christ. You know how Paul starts every one of his letters? Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Why did he repeat himself so many times? He wanted the people that he wrote to realize you got grace and peace only available through Jesus Christ when you got saved. I need to be reminded of that. All right, look at verse 3, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now watch verse 3. According as His divine power hath us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Watch verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, and what's that next word? Great and precious what? Promises, okay? Exceeding great and precious promises has to do with God's Word. Would you agree? When it says there, He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, He's talking about God's Word. Look at the rest of the verse. That by these, okay, grammar class, what are these? Those promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's God. Watch this. Having, what's that next word? Oh boy, I love that next word. Having what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You can choose to live in the corruption that is in the world through lust, or be a partaker of these great and precious promises. And when you partake of them, what did it say you're partaking of? The what? The divine nature. That's God showing you how you can be like Him through His Word. Folks, don't miss out on this. What have you been listening to lately? What have you been hearing lately? What have you been reading? You've seen this in the last few months. The words of men can be trusted, some of them, but not very often, can they? The words of God can be trusted 100% of the time. You've been hearing them? I hope so. Only you know and God knows. You've been hearing them? You need them. I need them. What's ahead? It might get, you need them even more. Because it's going to get a whole lot better at some point down the road for those who are saved. Amen? Let's bow our heads. I don't know where you stand with the Lord this morning, but as we do here, we want to extend an invitation for you to get saved this morning if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the most important thing that could ever happen to you. If you're not for sure that you're saved, time with you. We'll take all afternoon if we have to talk to you about being saved, so you know for sure before you leave here that you've got eternal life. You don't have to put your head on the pillow tonight thinking that, hold on, what if I go to hell? You won't ever have to worry about that. I can show you how you can have assurance of salvation. All right, if that's not you, you're saved. Maybe the Lord showed you a few things about maybe hearing for and being encouraged through His Word rather than discouraged by the world. So I just ask you to let the Lord do business with all of us this morning. Lord, thank you for your words. They are so precious. They're exactly what we need, not just today, but every day. Lord, help us to respond to your word in the manner that would please you. Help all of us to do that this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.